Love. Love, grace, mercy, blessings, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two men. The first was an affable, gregarious, and successful man. In the eyes of the community, a self-made man. But more importantly, the same in his own mind. He was full of confidence that everything good for him had come about because of him. One day I asked him, "Who was it that decided that your consciousness was put into your body? Who was it that decided that you are born in the United States rather than some other place where all you might have been or would have accomplished would have been devoured by poverty and hunger?" He thought for a moment and said he didn't really know. He had never thought of it in such a way. So for clarity to the question and to cut off an answer that might have come from genetics, I tried again. "Who decided that your soul would be yours?" Then he knew the answer. God. I said, "Of course, and that is absolutely why we in faith and in thankfulness for all that he has given us in his gracious will do give thanks and tell others of all that God has done." The second man was much older, lived through the Depression. The road in front of his house was mud until it was graveled in 1950. His earthly story ends in hospice, where he said in response to a question about why he remained so positive-minded within days of death, "I trust in God to save me." He said if God would grant that just one person would come to Jesus Christ in part because of any message, attitude, or behavior that I have given or still give, then I will have served my Lord one last time. It was part of his role on earth to show and to tell others of God's word through his own words and through his behavior that God was the merciful and gracious. Two different attitudes. Today's reading sounds quite a bit like portions of the Sermon on the Mount, particularly chapter 5. For me, our text today is more understandable if I look at verse 1 of the chapter. "I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship." Or verse 3, "For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought." The presumption of our reading then is that we, brothers and sisters, have gifts from God by the mercy of God. We each have gifts. We do not all have the same gifts. We have been blessed by these gifts, but we do have one gift in common. Our reading opens up with, "Be blessing those who persecute you, be blessing and do not be cursing." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." For me, the presumption of the reading is that it is by the hand of God who blesses that we have any chance of giving a blessing to others. How can we be blessing if we don't believe in the blessing given to us by the one, Jesus Christ, who is a source of all the blessing, mercy, and grace? To whom would you be praying for those who persecute you if not to the one true God, who has been distributing his blessings lavishly? the greatest blessing being the sacrifice of the Son by the Father, the same sacrifice that the Son gives freely, the blessing given because God loved the world. This is, of course, the blessing we have in common, eternal life with Him. Our Lord practices what He preached. He has been blessing us and not persecuting us. He associated with the lowly. He prayed even for those who did such evil to Him in that day. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So it's bless and not curse. It is pray for your enemies, not curse. We can neither bless nor pray in any meaningful way without our Savior, who has done all things needful for our salvation. Our reading tells us not to avenge ourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Thankfully, we are not in that control, because we would likely be far too wrathful for our own self-interests. And for us, God's wrath is avoided. Right now, every day, and for all time, in Christ who made the sacrifice. Now for the two men. I really don't know what the first proud man is thinking today. Does he, as part of the body of Christ, remain in the belief that he is the right hand of God for himself, sometimes dexterous and capable by himself? Is he a God for himself? Does he think others less capable than he, as example, a left hand, is less capable? Does he bless and not curse? Does he pray for his enemies? I don't know. In regard to the dying man, I know that he was thinking and believing his words, and by his words and his behaviors, that he was part of the one body that we are in Christ. He did not disqualify himself. Would he pray for others? He was, from that bed up to the hour of his death. Would he bless and not curse? He was up to the hour of his death. Would he rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that are weeping? Yes. And why? Because he knew and believed that what our triune God had done for him by blessing him every day. The old man was living and dying within his response to the mercies and blessing of God. His impending death meant that he could not fall away. There was no time. And he shared that he was thankful for that. His death was not darkness to him. The wrath of God was not on his radar. Would the self-made man see that the blessings of God were in the many things that made up his existence, including his death or his child's death? You might ask yourself someday which of the two men you would sit with at a church dinner and why. You may, of course, conclude either or both. It depends. We are the beneficiaries of our Lord's death and resurrection, even in our death, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are blessed. Love, grace, mercy, blessings, and peace. Maybe it's in that order that God does things for us. In his own holy name, amen.